Good evening. I'd like to call the October 2nd, 2018 meeting of the Tompkins County Legislature to order. Please join me. Oh, no, I wouldn't like to do that. There's a public hearing first. Kathy, thank you very much. Okay. First, I would like to call a public hearing to order for the proposed local law number C of 2018, amending the Tompkins County Charter, Article 11, Air Services Board. Is there anybody who would like to address us about the change in the charter and the Air Services Board? Okay, I would close the hearing. And now I will open the legislature meeting for October 2nd. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Roll call of members.
Mr. Grandison?
Here.
Mr. John?
Here.
Ms. Kellis? Mr. Klein?
Here.
Ms. Corman?
Present.
Mr. Lane?
Here.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne has asked to be excused. Mr. McKenna?
Here.
Mr. Morey?
Here.
Mr. Sigler?
Here.
Ms. Black?
Here.
Ms. Champion?
Here.
Ms. Dawson?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
12 members present.
Kathy, I'd like to ask for an executive session later to discuss real estate negotiations. And we've had a request from Jim Blizzard in the tech booth that the sound is really not good when you do that with your microphone. You move your microphone far away. Just if you're finished speaking and you want to move it a little bit away, that's just a little bit is fine, but apparently there's a lot of noise in the whole post here, so and that comes across on the air. Also, when you touch the foam, don't touch the foam. That makes a lot of noise. So thank you for adjusting our behaviors that way. All right. We have public privilege, and I have just one blue sheet, and I think this person knows what the rules are. If there's anybody else who would like to address us, just pick up a blue sheet from the back. The first speaker is Dooley Kiefer, the legislator from the village of Keega Heights and village of Lansing for many, many years. Hi, Dooley.
Good evening. It's nice to be back down here. Since it's budget time, I was thinking about budget things. And there was an article in the Ithaca Journal about a week ago saying that the state Supreme Court had turned down a request to reimburse the property owners of the Hornbrook Road property that had been destroyed in a police action on the grounds that the police action was absolutely legal and justified. And I've been waiting for that to finally be settled. I checked to make sure that the property owners had received no insurance reimbursement on the same grounds by the insurance company, that it was a police action that was legal and they wouldn't pay anything for the house. And so if I were still on the legislature, I would make this suggestion, and that's why I'm here tonight. There were a number of people in our county who were startled by the extent of that destruction. They were unhappy about a lot of things, but that was one of the many things. And in my mind, it's really the county that destroyed the house. And the property owners are out because of our action, which was perfectly justified and legal. So at budget time, I would probably be suggesting that we take some money, maybe $100,000, out of our surplus, our contingency, whatever you want to call it, and pay those property owners for the loss that we were responsible for. Thank you.
Thank you, Dooley. Good to see you. As I'm sure you know, we'll take that under consideration. Thank you. Are there any other members of the public who'd like to speak? All right. I see George McGonigal from the City of Ithaca. Welcome. Thanks for coming, George.
Thank you very much. I don't have much. The street reconstruction around town is continuing on East State Street. The main sewer line is just about complete, but now they'll go back down the hill and connect side mains to that major main. So we're not out of the woods there yet. They hope to finish by the time that asphalt is still available, which is November probably. On the other side of town, meanwhile, on the other side of town, the East State Street or the West State Street bridge, all the painting's done. The new lanes are apparent. The bike lanes are apparent with their extra wide lines. The traffic light, which will be at the bottom of Hector Street, is not installed yet. That will probably be another month before that happens. We'll see what that brings. A little concerned about access from Elm Street after that happens. The city has in the process of selling 2 acres of property at the south end of Cherry Street to a company called Emmy's Organics, which makes cookies and snacks. And they're going to add 5 new jobs, 3 of which are supposed to be at a livable wage. And so that's good. So we'll see how that goes. That's all I have prepared. I'll answer any questions if I can.
Thanks so much, George. Any questions? Could you give us a thumbnail on the city budget? What's your process?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. The mayor's budget will be presented tomorrow night, and we will have extra sessions throughout October where we focus on different departments at each session. And probably, I don't know what your process is, but it's probably similar. Department heads who feel like they should get more money, make their pitch, and we listen to that and decide whether to go with the mayor's recommendation or add or subtract. We keep a running tally of how much we've added, and at the end we add it all up and then go over it one more time and think, well, do we really want to do that or not? So that's what we do.
Thank you, George. Do you have any clue, you know, any pre-announcement information about,
I do have one thing. I'm optimistic about the city adding another road crew for the Department of Public Works. And we almost did that last year. It was a real close vote. This year it's in the mayor's budget, which it was not last year. And this will allow us to have a lot more flexibility and to get a lot more paving done and not have to hire out as much work as we do now. And in the long run, it should save the city money and improve our infrastructure, which is teetering on disaster.
I think you'll get some support for that idea here. How about LEAD? We were wondering, a couple of us were talking the other day about law enforcement assisted diversion. Is there any update there?
I don't have more information on that, no.
All right. Anything else? Great. Thanks a million, George.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
Your being yep. here. Thank you. Legislative privilege on the floor. Okay, I feel like everybody's just, I don't know, got a fever or something. It's just so quiet here tonight. Dan, and then was it Amanda and Annie? Not Amanda. Okay, Ann. Okay.
There was a little anniversary that passed this summer that we failed to notice, and I just thought I'd take a moment to mention it before it got too far away, which is that it's now 5 years that we've been in this legislature chambers. I think the expensive furniture and furnishings we did are holding up really well. And if you started amortizing them over a bunch of years, you'd see that it actually was a good value. And I just wanted to mention that.
Thank you, Dan. I have thought often about the tiny little place that the public was allowed to sit over in the other building. I mean, it was a couple of terrible benches and no space. And this is just so much more welcoming and has made it really a public space. So thanks for mentioning that. Annie.
A couple of reminders, mostly for legislators, but some are for the public. For the airports, I know there's a lot of activities going on at the airport this week. On Thursday at 1:15 is the ribbon-cutting ceremony for the new airlines, and so Mike Hall wanted me to remind folks, and if as many folks could come up to that, and also folks from the city, if they want to come up for that, George. I'll tell them later. Then also for legislators, Thursday night, 6 to 8 at the Statler is a celebration about the new airlines, and then Friday, I haven't heard what time yet, but we believe the governor is going to be coming into town for a groundbreaking, and Mike said he'd send out information when that came up. Thank you.
Thanks, Ann. It's it's United Airlines starting the service to Dulles to Washington, D.C., nonstop service, so folks can get to those demonstrations easier. Lobby our federal representatives. I think that's a perfect fit for us. Latest we've heard is 11:45 at the airport in the hangar where he came in last spring. So the same place as last spring in the CFR building, you know, Gigantic Aviation Hangar, next to Department of Emergency Response. And that's 11:45. People should arrive up there. Thanks for mentioning that. Rich.
I just wanted to mention the Tommy plane actually did fly last Saturday. Many of us were there, and in fact, it was a great crowd, gorgeous weather, nice puffy clouds, and it was a noisy, exciting moment when it took off, and it successfully circled above the crowd for about 10, 15 minutes, and then successfully landed, perhaps more importantly. It touched down, and it's going to be in the Tompkins Center for History and Culture. It's going to be one of the premier exhibits on permanent display there. It had flown privately. They'd done some very limited testing, but this was its public flight. So it was always planned that it would fly once, and so there was some apprehension that you take a project that the Ithaca Aviation Heritage Association had worked on for, I think, 15 years, getting this plane beautifully restored. There was some nervousness, but seeing it land was almost as much fun as seeing it take off. But it was a great job, everybody. Thanks.
Thank you, Rich. Amanda.
Sorry, I moved the microphone. So on Saturday at Stewart Park, the Town of Ithaca Democratic Committee, along with the City of Ithaca Democratic Committee, is hosting a family fun event. You don't have to be a Democrat to come. You can come, register to vote, you can ask questions, bring your kids. There's going to be popcorn and carousel rides, and people can you know, learn about what the committee does, or, you know, bring your family and friends. I think the idea is to just try to get more people engaged and involved and hopefully getting out to vote in a month.
Thank you, Amanda. Anybody else? Henry.
Also on October 7th, the Friends of the Library is having its fall book sale. And so it runs 3 weekends. That's the first day it starts. Also, I want to acknowledge that next Monday will be Indigenous Peoples Day in Ithaca. And so we celebrate it as a county. I just wanted to mention it.
Thanks, Henry. Mike Lane.
Saturday, there's a lot going on in Dryden. Including the Harvest Festival at the History House. There are a number of activities that the History Center and the Historic Ithaca have come together on, including a breakfast at the Schickle Farm and some other things that are open to the public. You can go online and get tickets through the 5th. Come on out to support our local not-for-profits, including the county's History Center and the Historic Ithaca and the Dryden Historical Society. Have some fun. I'm glad Rich talked about the Tommy Plane because that was history meeting modernity. Should we want to say it that way? And the fact that we could see that fly, and not many of us have actually seen a World War I era plane other than in the movies, flying, and it was a fun thing to watch, and watching the crowd was wonderful. They also had some wonderful antique cars there, by the way, mm-hmm. Really old ones, like a 1903 Oldsmobile, for heaven's sakes. If you think about that plane that was flying, that was built only 15 years after the Wright brothers did their first flight.
Anyone else? So I would echo that, Mike. I especially appreciate that, you know, there was a lot of history here with the Curtis company and in sort of a battle with the Wright brothers over patents. And, think about 15 years ago. I mean, from us now, 15 years ago, I mean, people hadn't ever seen a plane. And it was being, you know, they were being built here. And it was a wonderfully intergenerational crowd, too. So it was people of all different ages. And, special kudos to Don Funk, the real sort of spark plug behind the thing, who really dedicated 15 years of his life to this. And his family has confessed to me they're a little worried about what happens next. Need another project for Don. So many, many thanks to Don and the many volunteers who participated in that. The airport events were already mentioned. And Amanda, you mentioned voting. I want to add that registration is open till October 12th. People are encouraged to register to vote. And till next Friday, October 12th, you can go to votetompkins.org or come to our Buffalo Street address and pick up an application. And also an absentee ballot application if you're going to be out of town. Since we were here last, the number of us went to NYSAC, New York State Association of Counties. And I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but if Henry, Rich, Shauna or Deborah want to mention some of the things that they, you know, learned or heard or picked up at the conference. We welcome your taking the microphone on that again. I would mention just a couple things. The Women's Leadership Council is now in our third conference where we've had events for women members, and a couple men come as well, and that's always welcome. And it seems to really be gelling as a group to really put together interesting afternoon program for the women county officials. And I think it's been very useful. I will mention that I was leading a discussion group about fundraising and campaigning. And some of the stories that folks told, I couldn't believe it. I realized we really live in a bubble here, girls, we do. Two of the legislators from Cortland County talked about just this, you know, past year raising an issue. I can't remember what the issue was, but it was a new idea. Linda Jones from Homer, Kelly Preston's also from Homer. And they're sort of unveiling this idea, talking about it, and a guy in the audience just kind of shouts out, "Hey, is it okay to laugh?" And then later starts talking about the Homer girls better figure out how to get something done around here. Like, and I really? And so they've got T-shirts now about the Homer girls. You know, they're just using it. Say, so, yeah, we're the Homer girls, and we're gonna make things happen around here. We're here to govern. We're not here to get into fights. We're not here to be disruptive. We're here to govern, and we have ideas, and we're gonna contribute. And so I just gotta say, this. I mean, I know this stuff happens, but I just am reminded that I really deeply appreciate the respect that I think, for the most part, it really feels like we get as women around, you know, in Tompkins County. And I think that it's not perfect. It's not always the case. But I think we, I don't personally feel like I've had, in 20 years, had anybody, you know, imply that I shouldn't have a role because I was a woman. So I just want to say we are in a bubble. And I'm really glad that NYSEC is working on this, and long overdue. Something else they're working on that's long overdue, led by Mark Polenkars, the Erie County executive, Climate Resiliency Committee is getting started. And I raised my hand, and they said, yeah, absolutely, you can be on it. He actually got a plenary speaker to come to talk about the insurance, the risks associated with climate change. And NYMER, the New York Municipal Insurance, what's the last letter? Reciprocal? Okay. The insurance folks, presented his talk from the point of view of, okay, you're a county official, you're county government, you have to be prepared from an insurance point of view to deal with the risks of climate change. It's a really important message, and as I think many of us experienced, there's not always as much consensus about climate change when we go to NYSEC. This seemed to be a real opening to a new conversation, and then it was followed up with a workshop that got even further into the issue with Ulster County and Erie County describing the kinds of things that they've been doing. So I welcome that. I think it's a really important moment for NYSEC to be doing this and taking, as they usually do, a pragmatic and nonpartisan approach to an issue that's very important for all of our residents and taxpayers. So I just wanted to mention that. So so the four of you who went this past session, if anybody wants to be put on the spot and talk about the sessions you went to, Shauna?
I was on the Standing Committee on Public Health and Mental Health, and we passed three resolutions. The first one was calling upon Governor Cuomo and New York State Legislature to restore funding to counties to support unattended death investigations. Currently, the county picks up the tab for those, and so the resolution would be asking for the state to actually pay for that. The second resolution was calling on New York State Office of Alcoholism and Substance Abuse Services and the governor to establish permanent jail-based substance use disorders treatments. And that was also passed. And then the third one was resolution to expand infrastructure for public health and safety throughout New York State, reinvesting in core public health activities in response to emerging issues addressed by local health departments.
Thank you, Shauna. Anybody else? Rich.
I attended the Standing Committee on Public Safety at the NYSEC, New York State Association of Counties meeting. There were several resolutions passed, one to raise the tax benefit for volunteer firefighters that I voted in favor of. There was another one on school resource officers that I voted against. It was to ask New York State to fund putting a school resource officer in every school district in the state. And I was concerned on a cost basis, but also it seems like that should be a local decision. And since we've had that discussion here, it was interesting to see it discussed there. But what I would mention in particular was there was a very good presentation on emergency medical services and the serious state of what's going on now with emergency medical services, ambulances. And the question that the speakers kept asking was, we have police and firefighters as essential services, but in New York State, ambulances are not considered an essential service, but of course, as citizens, we think that if we need an ambulance, we call one and one will come. And particularly in our upstate areas where there's rural stretches, it's becoming more and more difficult to have an ambulance arrive in a timely manner. And this is a conversation that's going on in Tompkins County as well. And I anticipate this issue is only going to get more serious. And having seen the presentation there, I'm certainly going to have that as one of the conversations we should talk about at our Public Safety Committee.
Thank you, Rich. Henry.
On this session on Raise the Age, and I found out, which was supplemented by Martha, that not a single proposal has been approved yet by the state, but they said that money will be coming shortly and that approvals will be coming eventually. Also, there was a discussion about the fact that 16-year-olds who commit misdemeanor crimes would not be fingerprinted, and that caused a great debate amongst the people there.
Thanks, Henry. Deborah?
I attended the Standing Committee on Taxation and Finance. Before I launch into my little spiel, I want to thank Rich for voting against the school resource officer.
So did I.
So anyway, that was my first committee meeting. I sent you all a write-up, but it just in case you didn't manage to make it through that gripping summary, we had three resolutions. One, of course, addressed the internet sales tax problem. This one is a little different from the ones that we've passed in this body before and the ones that we've seen elsewhere before, in that this new resolution doesn't make any of the policy arguments that we usually make, because those policy arguments were already considered and decided by the Supreme Court in June in their South Dakota versus Wayfair decision. So basically, all we need to do is cite that decision and tell the state they need to get on the stick. There's more detail in my email if you want to read about it. The second resolution had to do with extending the period of time between the necessity of having the state reauthorize our tax rates, sales tax rates. And the idea is that eventually we would want to have the rates that the localities choose be permanent. And then the third one, oh, God, what was it? Oh, yeah, unfunded mandates. Well, that'll get far. But it was suggested that rather than start with the biggie, Medicaid, we might try to push the state to move a little bit on something smaller. The example that they used was early intervention, something less expensive that maybe the state could take over without screwing with our sales tax and everything else. So that's what I got.
Thank you, Deborah. Henry.
Also, I went to a session on communications, and they had a website that is philly.gov. And it actually, the nice thing about the website is that based on the way people use it, different things pop up, different format. I can get it to Dan for our website consideration. But it is a very interesting concept to have a reactive website to basically what people need, and you feed them into those areas.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Thank you. Anybody else or any questions? All right. Thanks very much. I appreciate that. I think it's always helpful to bring news back from the conferences we go to. County Administrator's Report, Jason Molina.
Thank you. A few things to report. Yesterday was Amy Hendricks' first day as Deputy County Administrator, and she came back today for a second day. So she has joined us up. So. And all smiles and last night, tonight, and tomorrow night. And so we welcome her up to the county admin. Also, Kevin, by the end of the week, we'll be able to send out some preparation for the next ABC meeting, including budget amendments or some housekeeping budget amendments and then over-target requests that come in. So stay tuned. He'll try to send that out, I believe, by Friday, so you have it before the next meeting. Last, just to share a quick experience, I flew out of Ithaca for the first time last week, or 2 weeks ago. Had a good experience. Flying back was delayed a little bit out of Newark. But interesting, the experience after that was, on my end, it didn't have my wife couldn't pick me up at the airport because of the delay. And long story short, I was able to look online, check the bus schedule, and was able to take the bus from the airport downtown and downtown up to T-Burg without having to disrupt family. The point being is that there's opportunities there, I think, to continue to expand upon our transportation system and work with TCAT and partnering with the airport even more than what we've done in the past. So it was a good experience. And I just thought I'd share that with everyone, and we'll share that with Mike Hall as well as with Scott over at TCAT.
Good.
So that's all I have.
Terrific. Thank you very much, Jason. Any questions? Amanda.
Could you tell us something about the conference you went to?
Absolutely. I went to the International City County Management Association Conference. This conference is usually, it's international. It's the primary association for town, village, city, county administrators and managers. There's usually an attendance of about 4,500 people. It's annually. It's usually in a different city. Normally in the U.S., every few years they throw in a city in Canada. So this year was in Baltimore. And I usually go out on Friday, and Saturdays and Sundays are usually more professional development focused, more leadership development focused programming. And then Monday and Tuesday are shorter sessions that are more technically focused. So there were quite a few sessions I went to. I don't know that I can name them all, but I could definitely get more background into them. Just to give you a little bit of background, one I went to was on process mapping. Another one I went to was about shaping the culture of the organization, which was fitting as we've come out of a climate survey. I attended a few different sessions. One was on institutional racism. Another one was having conversations about race in the community. There was another opioid session that I went to, which had some – and usually these sessions – they're usually about an hour long, the Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday sessions, and they usually have panelists, so there's experts in the field. Generally, there's at least someone from a municipality across the country that joins, usually field experts. So in this case, the opioid one had a police officer from, one of the counties down around the Baltimore area, and she was a mental health officer that dealt primarily mental health challenges and substance abuse challenges out of the sheriff's office. There was also a psychiatrist that worked for the International Association of Firefighters that works in their predominant post-traumatic stress syndrome facility they have just for firefighters. And then there was a director of ED at one of the hospitals in Maryland, Baltimore. And they talk about different approaches, and it's usually a good panel discussion. That was one example. So that's usually the setup with those types of sessions. It was a good conference this year, but it was in Baltimore. Baltimore is a good city to have a conference in. So this year's programming was I would say, pretty good. Sometimes years are better than some years are better than others. But all in all, it was a worthwhile conference, and it's the one conference usually the one big one I go to a year every year. So, and I can get more background and detail for any of the sessions that I attended if anybody wants any.
Thank you. Any questions? Was it different as a county official as a compared to a city official?
It is a little bit. It's interesting because while counties are part of the county, city-county management association, it's predominant. A lot of the programming is geared towards towns and villages and cities which have more in common than counties do in terms of service delivery. But there is a county administrators group that I went to for the first time, which is a subgroup of that, and they talk about county-related issues. And there's also a good contingent of New York managers and administrators that go down. So there's about 30 of us from New York across the state, you know, all folks, all colleagues that I know and familiar with. So it is a little different from a county's perspective, but good information and again, well attended.
Great. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. County Attorney Jonathan Wood.
Just a couple quick things. Yesterday, in addition to Amy starting, was also the first day of Raise the Age. So after all the preparation and lack of funding, it's actually started. So obviously we'll see how that goes. But it starts with 16-year-olds, and then a year from yesterday, it'll include 17-year-olds as well. On a kind of related subject, during questioning, during my presentation, people asked about our current workload, and Kevin from the county administrator's office passed out our statistics, I believe, over the past 25 years for juvenile delinquents. And if anybody had any questions about that, please feel free to contact me. And that's it.
Thanks, John. Any questions? Mike Lane.
John, we had a former legislator speak tonight about the Hornbrook Road incident and the case that just was dismissed against the county. I disagree with the comment that it was the county's action that caused the damage. In my view, in my opinion, it was the action of the person who was barricading himself in the house and resisting arrest. He was certainly breaching his contract with his landlord when he did that. And from that standpoint, I don't see it as being a county obligation to pay for this. I feel very bad for the owners of the property that happened to them, but it was a result of the actions of their tenant and not of the county, which was trying to do a legitimate governmental operation to make an arrest and not get people killed. So I just wanted to say that I'm very glad that you defended that case for us and that the court found that it was not the county liable in this situation. And I don't see any avenue where we could gift money to a private individual in a situation like this, as heartbreaking as it is for them.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks. That was more of a comment, but the court obviously agreed with you.
Okay. Anna?
I was just curious. I don't know how involved you are in the process. Pat Rochelle presented at Public Safety about the next steps for looking for a location for a secured detention facility. Can you talk about the progress with that? I know there was like five or six that had been identified. What's the timeline? Is there any progress?
Is it?
Sure.
I know Lisa could probably brief you on that one. Lisa's been working on that.
This is one of Lisa's responsibilities now. So she is our boss in that area.
So tomorrow we'll be coming to Public Safety a resolution authorizing the county administrator to enter into an intermunicipal agreement with the 11 counties to move forward. The next step looks to be the formation of a local development corporation between the 11 counties which will allow the 11 counties together to secure a site for the supervised secure detention, and it looks to be Camp Monterey in Schuyler County, which among
the closest one,
which is really good news.
That's wonderful.
and there's conversation with OCFS. They're going to be coming to do a site visit, so we're hopeful that that will result in something good.
That's what I was hoping for. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lisa. Any other questions or comments? Thank you, Jonathan. Rick Snyder, Finance Director.
Thank you. On page 4 is your sales tax report in your packet, but as you turn to that, I thought I'd give you just a briefing on what the consortium has been up to. And I only bring that up because it does impact the county. I was at a meeting last Thursday night when they did pass their rate increase on the health insurance premium for the entire consortium will be 5% next year. And that's pretty good considering that we're taking on a lot of new members. And there's probably been about a dozen new members who have gone through the process in the last 3 months to get their name in and to add to our consortium. I think I might have mentioned it once before that all of the municipalities in Tompkins County are now in the consortium. That wasn't the case back in 2011, but one by one, they've been joining, so we can say that every municipality in Tompkins County is in the health insurance consortium. As of last week, an acceptance of the new members, our roster for next year will be 40 municipalities in the health insurance consortium. So, and one of those is our first other county, being Seneca County, which is joining the consortium. So it's growing, it's doing very well, and we're just running out of space because that's a lot of, every time we add somebody, we have another representative that joins the board, so you can imagine how big those board meetings are. And the second item is that tomorrow morning, in fact, we're finance staff is undergoing training for a new software upgrade. It's the existing software we have. It's eFinance Plus 5.2, but the upgrade has been put off a number of times, and we're now involved in that upgrade process. Most of the finance staff will be involved in that tomorrow morning for about 3 hours, and then slowly over the next 6 weeks or so, we'll be migrating from the older version of the system into the new version of the finance system. And, of course, we attended de-escalation training today, which a lot of us here between this building and the building, the old jail building, I think assessment was involved, I'm not sure. No, they were not. But we had a full house in conducting one of the many de-escalation trainings. Excellent training that tells you how to not get too mad and how to deal with people effectively when you have customers come in or you have people that you relate to, how to bring it down a notch or two. And I thought it was very good, especially in, when you think of it being conducted by three employees of our city staff. We had somebody from the Sheriff's Department, somebody from the Probation Department, somebody from Mental Health. And they did a tag team job and presentation, and I know our staff got a lot out of it, and I've heard good comments about it throughout most of the day. So that was just here this morning, and that went very well. So looking at the sales tax, it's a very good report. I'm really excited, just like Deborah is also, because we do get excited about this.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. And this is
separated.
This is for the month of August, and if you look at that middle section that looks and identifies the county's portion of sales tax distributions for August was up 9.33% compared to last year. Go over to the right-hand columns, which are the year-to-date columns, you can see that the year-to-date tax distributions for the county's portion totaled $23,671,690 compared to $22,133,724 in 2017. This represents an increase of $1,537,966 year over year, or 6.95%. So we're up almost 7% to where we were last year at this point of time. I've added a section at the bottom of this report to help alleviate the confusion that has arisen in the past,
people used to pick out that little budget number that I had squeezed in the midsection and try to compare how what number compares to that budget number. So after speaking with Kevin and Jason about it a little bit, we thought we'd put a little section right at the bottom that shows the budget comparison a little bit more clearly. If you look at the top section where it says gross budget estimate, what we're looking at there is gross sales tax budget is wherever you see sales tax revenue located throughout the budget, because it's not just in one place. It shows up in another number of different units because of the way that it later gets allocated out. So when you're looking at those top two lines, we're comparing the gross number of dollars that comes in from sales tax, and that's right there at 69% of budget. At two-thirds of the year, you should be at 66.6%, and so you can tell that we're over budget there. If you move down to the bottom two lines, and this is where we do a bit of a reclassification, we back out those dollars that are in some of those smaller units, and we just look at what Jason's primarily interested. It's the amount, it's the big amount that's left over in our unallocated revenue section. And in that unallocated sales tax revenue budget estimate, if you can compare what's budgeted to actual, we're at 67.2%. Again, that's well above the 66 2/3%. So I hope that makes it a bit clearer, since that will always be presented at the bottom of the sheet, how well we are doing at that point in time. And before the meeting tonight, I thought, because in July when we brought you the financial statement presentation, and you remember that sales tax graph that showed that we were far exceeding, as of the end of July, where we were as compared to budget and all previous years, you know, we were predicting that at that time we would be about $1.7 million over and above what we budgeted for this year. Well, we've had we've had another month that's come in, a month or two. I can't remember what month was the cutoff there. But there's, as of the end of August, if you take our actual receipts for the first 8 months and just flat level for the next 4 months, for September, October, November, December, basically using the same amount that we got the 4 months of last year, if you add that up, we'll come in at $36,800,838 for 2018. You can see our gross budget estimate is $34,288,000. So if we just keep it flat for the next 4 months, with actual receipts coming so far, we're $2.5 million more than budgeted for this year.
What's the percent? A couple percent? I mean, that's great news. That's really good. And this reminds me that, also at NYSAC, we were, there's a leaders meeting that I go to, and the they handed out spreadsheets. You've got this.
Jason handed it to me this morning, yes.
The state is finally now documenting the top 20 sources of sales tax for each county. I'll put this on top of the mailboxes. It's online. So Dave Lucas at NYSAC put together for each county a package that includes the last 4 years. It appears that the state is now interested in documenting this because internet sales are a thing. So they want to be able to show, okay, how, you know, as they get ready to, you know, their lobby, and one of their resolutions is about state, local control and deciding how to levy, et cetera, et cetera. So they want to show how much it is. So for us, that electronic shopping and mail order houses happens to be generally the 14th out of 20. Well, in 1 year it was 11, 1 year it was 10. So you can look through this, look online as well. It's interesting. Automobile dealers is number one across the board. So but all these years when we've said we don't know why sales tax is up or down, this will be a little bit more of a clue. So I'll put this on the top of the mailboxes for anybody to have a look. And Kathy and I already talked about the de-escalation training, and she's already sent a note to Brenda Crosby Grinnell to see about scheduling that for us. that we think that might be something worthwhile for legislators to do. Yeah, we're nodding, yes. Yeah. All right, so Mike Lane.
Rick, is there some place we can go to, a website or something for the consortium to find this list of municipalities?
I'm glad you asked, because Michelle, who is the administrative clerk for the consortium, has worked for months on the brand new up and running consortium website, and it has everything. I mean, it has all the rates and plans for every municipality. Michelle, could you give that, do you know that website?
Yeah, it's on healthconsortium.net.
All right. Any other questions? Thanks very much, Rick. All right. Are there any resolutions to be added to or subtracted from the agenda, withdrawn from the agenda? Okay. Well, if not, since seeing none, I will read the consent agenda. If you have anything to pull off, just you can shout out. Resolution A, award of bid Hillview Road landfill replacement bedrock well, Department of Recycling and Materials Management, ID 8087. Resolution B, establishing county equalization rates, ID 8044. Resolution C, adoption of regular and supplemental reports of footings, totals, and assessment rolls, ID 8043. And Resolution D, authorizing federal fiscal year 2019 Federal Transit Administration Section 5339C, low and no emission electric transit bus program application for Tompkins Consolidated Area Transit, ID 8117. Is there a motion on the consent agenda? Moved by Deborah, seconded by Ann. All in favor, please raise your hands. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you very much. For the Housing Committee, no report. We haven't met since the last legislature meeting. Thank you, Mike, for reporting at the last one. And actually, I do have a tiny report. One is that we've been talking about the CDBG grant, and we're going to have a public hearing coming up because we've decided that we are going to be applying as a county. Turns out the state issued regulations for those applications. Turns out now they are eliminating home ownership as an eligible activity. So our CDB, so what's eligible is rehab projects and I think well and septic connections or something. Do you know?
Yeah, some infrastructure, laterals, those types of things. So personal infrastructure on private property.
So staff is working on that, and it is what it is. We can use that. They seem to have decided that there are other programs that work for home ownership, and Megan's point was that those programs aren't as flexible, and it's really a shame, especially when the federal home ownership money is being pulled back. It's a challenge for us, but they're going to go ahead and put together an application. Mike Lane.
So this is what we've always used this money for.
Right.
For as long as I can remember, we've always asked for this money, and we usually get some for the home ownership program. And I'm just stunned that we aren't going to have this money anymore.
Right. I don't disagree. And we may include this in a package of things that we will take to the second floor, but this is it for the year. I mean, this is how it goes. So I did ask Megan if there's anything we can do about it. She said probably not for this round, but there's certainly plenty of rehab work that needs to be done, and this is
certainly even more hurtful for the rural parts of the county. Mm-hmm.
Right. I agree. So the next meeting of the Housing Committee will be October 15th at 3 o'clock in this room. Any other comments or questions? All right. Thank you very much. Public Safety Committee, Rich John, Chair.
The Public Safety Committee will be meeting tomorrow. We're going to have a presentation on that's tomorrow here at 3 o'clock. We're going to have a presentation from Judge Scott Miller about the proposal for a new mental health court. He's going to come in, and we're going to have an update and a resolution on the subject we were talking about, raise the age, and some other reports from departments.
Thank you, Rich. Any questions? Deborah.
Rich, I was contacted today by a constituent who apparently has a history of working with groups like the Red Cross. She was involved in the emergency response, such as it was to the weather problems in Lodi last month. And she is interested in getting our county to create some sort of disaster response plan. I'm really not familiar with what our provisions are for that. Should I put her in touch with you, or what's the procedure here?
We do have disaster response plans. We do have a fair amount of work on that. That would be our Department of Emergency Response. And Lee Shurtleff would probably be the person to talk to directly. I don't know if, Jason, do you have anything to add to that?
Depending on what she's looking at, you know, we have an all-hazard mitigation plan, which talks about mitigation or pre-activities, pre-disaster activities to prevent or mitigate, you know, damage and loss of life. And then there's also comprehensive emergency management response. And there's a series of different mutual aid plans, so on and so forth. Lee would be the point of contact for that to understand exactly what she's looking for. And was there, you know, that might bring up the question of were they implemented or were they implemented properly, or was she just not part of that process? Or is there something else that we're missing?
All right, thank you.
And I know that with the problems they had with that storm event in Lodi, there were several Tompkins County emergency responders that went up there to help, which is really good.
Well, are these plans available for her to access on
yes.
the website somewhere?
If they're not on the, I mean, they're public documents, so if they're not accessible on the website, they can be made accessible to you.
Okay,
yep.
Thank you.
Anything else for Rich? Thanks very much. Health and Human Services Committee, Shauna Black, Chair.
Hello. Our next meeting is Tuesday, October 9th at 3 p.m. We will be joined by the Ithaca Free Clinic, and they will discuss the many different services they offer in our community. We will also have conversation and discussion on a resolution in support of legalizing marijuana in New York State.
And the Office of Human Rights report? That's next week?
Is that going to be ready, Jason?
We're going to try to, yes.
Okay.
We'll let you I'll probably know in the next day or so.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions for Shauna? Thank you very much. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Dave McKenna, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. F&I has not met since the last legislature meeting, and I have one resolution to bring forward. That would be Resolution E, ID 8090, adoption of Local Law C of 2018, amending the Tompkins County Charter, Article 11, Air Services Board, which is basically changing the number of members to 10. It was changed in 17, I guess, to 8, and should have been left at 10. Anyway, that's the change, and I'll move it.
Seconded by Glenn. Discussion? Ann?
Was that also changed, that we can change the number of members through the legislature rather than having to go through, change the whole charter also?
Yeah.
So that's
not sure about that.
Yeah, packet page 14, the first paragraph down at the bottom.
The number of members shall be determined by resolution of the county legislature.
Right.
So that'll make it easier to change the number from now on.
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions? Anna, then Mike.
On back of page 14.
Can't hear you.
Also on the resolution, there was one change.
Can't hear you, Anna.
All right. There was one change. It is recommended that the charter be changed to reflect that the number of members shall be determined. It's just a manifest, as long as people are. Well, if it's friendly.
Line 8, the resolution. Is that friendly?
Yes.
Glenn and Dave, okay.
Just to make it clear.
And Mike Lane, you have, I think you had your...
No, I'm all right.
What?
I didn't get the change. Excuse me.
Just like that, the number. Any other discussion? All in favor, please raise your hands. Any opposed? That's unanimous.
Beth and I will meet here on the 18th at 3 p.m. That's my report.
All right. Thank you very much, Dave. Transportation Committee, Mike Lane, Chair.
Well, we're going to meet on Friday. We've had to bounce around the time a little bit. We had originally thought the governor was coming in a little earlier. That's the word that Mike Hall had. And so we thought about having the meeting up at the airport because we have two important resolutions for the airport on the transportation agenda having to do with bonding for the airport capital projects. Then we heard the governor change the time until a little later, but by the time the legislative staff had put out the notice about the new time, we thought about it and we did not want to confuse everybody and change it a third time. So we will meet this Friday at 8:30 at the CFR conference room. That's the airport administration building and the where the fire department is up there. And we'll be talking about the bond resolution, among other things.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions? I know what this is all about. This is that we've been here every night in the last, you know, 2 weeks, and we're just like, if there's not a PowerPoint, we don't know what to do, right? Okay.
It wasn't dinner.
And there was no dinner. Oh, my gosh.
And where's Kevin?
And yeah. Kevin.
There's just so many things
we're
wrong.
We're lost. You know, please, Jason, let him know that we're lost without him. So,
I'm sure you're watching right now.
Yeah, I don't think so. Is there anyone for Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee? I know Leslin has got the bronchitis of, you know, parents and teachers in every fall, so that's where she is, at home nursing. Is there anybody for Workforce Diversity and Inclusion? Anna?
I wasn't prepared to say anything, so I'll just speak a few things, and if anybody else, Anne and Henry, who are there, want to add. We did have a long discussion about the climate survey, the input that we've had so far, how it's going to roll out, who's going to be doing it, what questions we'd like to see reviewed, the data that we'd like to see reviewed. All of those things were discussed. Thank you to our lovely deputy administrators for presenting. Thank you so much, Amy, in particular, on that note. We had another long discussion. I can't remember what the topic was. Annie?
Accessibility issues, Indigenous people.
Yes, one of the conversations that came up that I've discussed since with Jason is the possibility of an accessibility assessment policy and the discussion of whether or not we have one, what's necessary, or whether or not that's an organic process, as well as what we would like to see happen on Indigenous Peoples Day. And also from that stemmed the reinitiation of the conversation of having people from Indigenous communities be represented on WDIC, and that's something that Annie and I are pursuing. And we'll get back to everyone.
Thank you, Anna. Questions or additions? All right, thank you very much. And I guess I was trying to get out even quicker than usual, and I skipped three committees. I'm sorry. Dan Klein, Government Operations Committee Chair.
Thank you. Committee has not met since the last legislature meeting. Our next meeting will be Wednesday, October 17th at 9:30 in these chambers.
Thank you, Dan. Questions for Dan? Thank you. Planning, Development, Environmental Quality Committee, Anna Kellis, Chair.
Yeah, so we had about seven presentations crammed into a two-hour period, which seems to be the norm this year with PDEC. One of the presentations was the initial first informational presentation on a possible plastic bag ban that was presented by two members of the EMC subcommittee, Zero Waste Subcommittee, Susan Allen Gill and Tom Shelley, supported with additional information from our legislator, Amanda. There was no action taken, but there was support for the work that they've done so far. We're looking forward to continued work with the staff, the various departments who will be involved in this work with that subcommittee. We had a presentation on agriculture and horticulture tourism, and I'm not going to go into it any further except to say I was really surprised to see how much tourism is brought into our county through our agriculture and horticulture initiatives. It was wonderful to see. I know that there's a farm tour that's going on that just happened. We also had a wind turbine presentation, and I will just say take home was that it is not a good return on investment, unfortunately.
Medium wind.
It's specifically on medium wind. They weren't talking about large wind because there are very few locations in Tompkins County. In fact, only one, and that was where the Black Oak Wind Farm would have been. That would have been appropriate wind speeds for the large scale. These were medium scale, and because of the topography in Tompkins County, unfortunately, they did an analysis of several case studies and did not find that it would be a good return on investment at the moment. The other take-home is that if gas prices do go up, that could eventually be a worthwhile return on investment. The last presentation was from the Convention and Visitors Bureau, and our next meeting will be October 22nd at 3 p.m. That's my report.
Thanks, Anna. Annie, then Deborah.
The farm tour was rescheduled to the 12th of October, so I'm not sure why they did that, but I know for a lot of us we couldn't go, so I'm hoping that more folks can go. I went last year, and it was really great to see firsthand, be on the farms. Last year we got to see some bison, which was pretty cool. So I'm not sure of the exact time, but it's Friday the 12th.
Deborah?
I was, Annie covered it. The reason it got canceled, I gather, was because their bus fell through or something. So I would assume it'll be at 8:15 again. And we will be visiting two farms with manure storage facilities, also known as lagoons.
Good. That sounds...
Bring your nose plug.
Exciting. All right. Thanks very much for the PDEC report. Budget, Capital, and Personnel, Mike Lane, Chair.
Well, we've had a meeting or two. We've had actually six meetings of the expanded budget committee. We've now heard the presentations of all our departments, plus Jason has given us the overview of the capital program for next year, which was pretty important to hear from. Tomorrow night we have something pretty important. Hasn't been well attended in the past few years, so turn some people out. Have them come and talk to us about Tompkins County budget and programs and other things. It's our annual budget forum, which will be at 7 o'clock here in these chambers. Jason will give an overview of the budget for people at the beginning, and then we'll open it up for comments. Talk to us about... things that we do well, things that we don't do well, things that we overfund, things that we ought to fund more money for. So people out there who are listening to us tonight on the television, please come and share your thoughts with the Tompkins County Legislature as we move forward starting next week to have the meetings in which we will actually do voting on the various over-target requests and other things that are in the budget presentation from the county administrator. The small budget committee, I'll call it that, a regular budget committee, will be having a meeting before... And I'm confused, actually, what day we're having it. I think we're having it the 16th.
That's correct.
Okay. It'll be on the 16th before the legislature meeting. And at that meeting, we will be talking about the appointment to the TC3 board, which is a county appointment and who we'd like to recommend to this legislature. We have advertised. We have done interviews with the folks that have submitted applications. We have some very qualified folks that have put their names forward. And there'll be more on that after we have a discussion among the smaller group.
Thank you very much, Mike. Dan.
So I'm confused. Are we not meeting on the 9th?
I don't think we're meeting on the 9th. I thought that was what had me confused. I thought
it was expanded budget on the 9th.
On the 9th, but not. It's a regular EBC meeting on the 9th, but we aren't having a special meeting ahead of that.
No.
Are we?
No.
And we're meeting on the 16th at 5 o'clock, right before this meeting, is that?
I think we're meeting at 4:30.
Okay, I can do this offline. Thank you.
I think the time will be determined later once we know what the agenda is.
An hour.
I think so, too.
Thank you.
TC3 appointment will need at least an hour, you're saying, and the time will be announced closer, right?
Right.
Okay. An expanded budget is 5:30 this coming Tuesday,
correct,
a week from tonight, for voting. And, Mike, if you would give folks a reminder of exactly if they have an amendment to the budget, what do they do?
Get it in writing to Kevin McGuire so that he can put it together for us. If you want to recommend something that's not on the over-target list, make sure you get it in there. And we ask that you say whether it's a one-time or a target increase for the department or decrease. And if it's an increase, where you're recommending the funding come from. Does it come from fund balance? Does it come from the an increase in the levy from the taxpayers? And so you need to think about that as you put in amendments. You don't have to do it that way. You can make an amendment on the floor, but it's better if we all know in advance what's coming in. That way, departments that are affected can have representatives here to answer questions so that they're not blindsided by something. You know, if we say we're cutting something from their budget or we think it would be a great idea if they did X or Y, they may have some real good information on what you want to do. So when we get on the floor, you can make, at some point you will get to the amendment that you want to make. It can be amended. There can be an amendment to the amendment. And if it fails, or you can come back later with another amendment, slightly different. We're pretty open to let people try to do what they want. But if you'll get a sense of the room when you have something, if it doesn't pass, you know, whether it fails by a vote or two or whether it fails by 10 votes, it makes a difference. And we all understand the way these things work.
Jason.
If I could just add to that, Kevin does notify the departments and the agencies if there's an item to be discussed or an OTR or an amendment that may impact them. So if we do know about it in advance, he reaches out to them, sends them an email, calls them, says, hey, there might be something that you might want to attend because it impacts your agency or department. So that communication does come out of our office.
I would add that Kevin's very helpful if you say, I want to do such and such, I'm not sure how to word it, I'm not sure what, you know, which department this affects. You can pick up the phone or stop in or email him if you're not sure what you want to do. But it is really helpful to do this before the last minute. So I had Rich, then Deborah.
Just because it gets inside baseball very quickly, Mike, I was wondering if you could give us two sentences on the difference between the Budget Committee and the Expanded Budget Committee for people who don't sit here all the time.
The Budget Committee, the basic committee, consists of five people who were appointed by the chair of the legislature to serve this year. That is me, Dan, Leslin, Glenn, and Mike Sigler. And under our rules, when it comes time to review the budget, we go to what's called the Expanded Budget Committee, which is a committee of the whole of the legislature. And everyone is invited to be a part of that. We've had wonderful participation in the six meetings we've had here. Most of the folks have been here for every meeting. And they get to vote when we get to the voting sections. And I think that's the key of the Expanded Budget Committee. Everybody gets to vote. It's not just the five of us at the Small Budget Committee deciding what the budget's going to be presented to the full legislature.
Thank you.
Deborah.
I just wanted to say
that Mike Sigler and I both received an email from a resident in the town of Lansing who's very active in various political matters and also in veterans affairs. And apparently there is an organization called Finger Lakes Veterans for Peace, which seems to be centered here in Ithaca, that's very, very excited that we're finally considering a veterans office and urges us strongly to establish one here because the need is great.
I would add to what Mike said about the forum tomorrow night, anybody can write to Kathy or the web form on the county homepage, can send your comments, members of the public, send your comments to us. Kathy will get them distributed to all of us if people can't come to the meeting tomorrow night. So that's another way for people to weigh in. Did I miss anybody else? Mike, did you have anything else to add?
No, by the end of the year, we're all so sick of budget, we can't stand it. And, but it's a wonderful process when we think back on it. I'm very proud of this process.
And in case anybody's curious, sometimes if we have things can get added to it, amendments can get made to the tentative budget with fewer than 8 votes. If, say, there are, 8 people at the meeting, you just have to have 5 say yes to that amendment. If there are 3 people at the voting meeting, 2 of them can decide that it gets into the – that's not going to happen, clearly. But what the votes are on the tentative budget, and then when we get to adopting the budget, or it's on the recommended budget to make it a tentative budget, and then obviously when we act as a legislature, we have to vote with 8 as the controlling majority. But if you're looking around and you say, geez, I only have 7 votes for this thing, if that's more than 6, if that's the number of people here, then your thing will go through. So, all right. Thanks very much. And, Mike, it's been a great process, and I think your patience with everybody's questions and discussion. They've been long meetings, but they've been really good ones. So, okay, Kathy, did I get all the committees now? I did. Woo-hoo. All right. Then I will take a motion on the minutes of September 20th, moved by Ann, seconded by Rich. Any comments or concerns? I have one, probably because I wasn't here, but my brother gave me permission to celebrate his birthday in the state of Washington. A packet page 27, twice the National Leaders Initiative is mentioned. Was that natural? Does anybody – I know of that.
Natural Leaders.
Natural Leaders. Okay. I know about that group, so thought, okay. If that's all right with the mover and seconder. Anna?
I just wanted to check. I don't know. I actually can't remember the process. Kathy, I'd sent you a bunch of emails about some corrections to the minutes. I wasn't sure if you got those.
Yes, they were considered manifest errors.
Great. Wonderful. Just wanted to check.
Okay. I'm ready to vote. All in favor of the minutes? Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you so much. Can I have a motion to go into executive session for the purpose of real estate negotiations? Moved by Mike Lane, seconded by Deborah. All in favor, please raise your hands. Any opposed? That's unanimous. All right, we will take a, 10-minute break, 5-minute break while we close the cameras down. Thank you all.